This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of May the 23rd, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode number 228 of TVA, the podcast. Greg, I feel like we did everybody a disservice. We missed a week last week.
We did miss a week last week, but
there was a podcast.
There was a podcast, yes. Lisa Rose Snow's podcast is up, so you can check that out. And actually, part of the discussion that she and I had, she's a writer and has been on shows like Frontier, and also a program that's coming up on CBC's schedule, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, named Little Dog. So check that out. Also upcoming, if you are a Winona Earp and Schitt's Creek fan, I have an interview with Tim Rozon going up. I think it's going to go up next week, and then Jenica Harper will be the next TV ABCs after that. So keep an eye out for those two.
Okay, very cool. And to be fair, normally when we get together for the news editions of the podcast, we like to spend a nice chunk of time on the calendar. And last week there wasn't much to talk about on the calendar, so it's not like we missed much.
No, it is not like we missed much. It was the kind of perfect timing, because it was a week of where everybody was at rest. It was the Lord's Day.
Everyone was at rest.
I don't know.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. So we do have some stuff on the calendar coming up for this week and next week. Let you know some of that stuff. We also have a couple of stories that we're going to talk to you about. We're going to talk to you about some new CBC shows that are coming out. We're just teasing people here, letting people know. There you go. So first of all, before we get to anything else, it's time for the beverage update. Greg, and I know it's another midday recording, so I'm wondering, are you currently drinking or are you planning on drinking?
No, I'm not currently drinking. Currently drinking water just to keep myself hydrated. But later tonight, it will be a bottle of Wappoose Premium Cider, courtesy of Mark Ellis and the fine folks at Wappoose. So I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm reading off of the box that for over 150 years, the small hamlet of Wappoose, I didn't even know there was a hamlet, has produced apples of remarkable taste and quality. So the cider is made from a blend of these apples grown in our own orchards and by select growers in this unique area of Prince Edward County, Ontario. It is a unique area. I've been there many times. The County Cider Company combines old world traditions and new world artisan. There's artisan methods in the production of all of its ciders. We are especially proud of Wappoose. The classic cider is dry, crisp, and well-balanced, and natural beverage. Please enjoy.
I think I've actually had that cider before, and I'm trying to remember whether I bought like a four pack of it somewhere, or I actually had it in a bar somewhere. I forget.
Because you can buy it in the four pack. Yeah, and in select bars and pubs, there's a fish and chip place that I go to, and they actually have it on tap. So that's the first time that I had ever had it, and quite enjoyed it. And speaking of that, I should go on a field trip at some point, because there is at least one cider bar here in Toronto that I need to check out.
It's a dry bourbon, right? A dry cider, right?
Yes, it's a dry cider. Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm more of the sweet cider fan myself, to be honest with you.
You know what? I am too. I like the sweet and the semi-sweet, but I certainly don't disenjoy. Is that even a word?
No, it is now.
I don't disenjoy the dry ciders.
There you go. So
what have you got?
So it's a plan for later. So this past weekend I was down in Atlantic City, which gave me the opportunity to seek out a liquor store with a healthy bourbon selection there.
Of course.
And I picked up a couple new bourbons. The one that I picked up, the one I'm a bit excited about, is called Knob Creek 2001. So it was put out last year by Jim Beam makes the Knob Creek brand of bourbons, but they had a select amount of barrels that were back from 15, 16 years ago. And so they blended together a release called Knob Creek 2001, because that's when a lot of the stuff went into the barrels. And so it's kind of like an old, like Knob Creek is kind of a good everyday everyday drinker from Jim Beam.
Okay.
It's usually aged at 9 years. This stuff is aged at 15 years and up. Just to give you some of the qualifiers for it, I will invite Sam Elliott back to the show, and we'll hear a little bit about it.
I'm glad he's available.
He's working these days.
The segment wouldn't work if he was busy.
Yeah, friend of the show, basically, you know, yeah. Sam Elliott. Yeah. So he's going to talk about the nose and the palate, by the way, which I believe was a Robert Ludlum book, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not sure. It would be the Elliott palate or something like that. Big dose of caramel, heavy dark sweets, followed by waves of oak, dark fruit, spice, and a dollop of vanilla with a light bit of citrus peels. It's a hearty rustic aroma laced with balancing sweet notes, really quite nice. Oak dart sweets, dark fruit, cinnamon heavy spice, vanilla, and a touch of nuts and an herbal nature as it sinks towards the finish. Like the nose, it's robust and carries a great balance between rustic and sweet. I think that actually sums up Sam Elliott, rustic and sweet, to be honest.
Yeah, and a touch of nuts.
There you go. I think that works as well. By the way, the finish is a long oaky corridor.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Hey, so something that I'm noticing is that when you're talking about these different bourbons, they tend to be from larger companies like Jim Beam. So are there small scale distilleries out there?
Bespoke.
Do you have small batch bottles from smaller companies, or have they kind of in the States been kind of bought out by all the big names?
Well, so that still does exist, right? You have the entire families, so you have, like, you know, giant companies, but then what'll happen is, so you'll have a smaller bourbon company, which is owned by a large international conglomerate, but is still generally a small bourbon producer.
Okay.
But then you do have a lot of places across the States that are putting out their own bourbons as well. The trouble is, when people do that, there's this huge, there's a couple of places like this across the States, but there's especially one place in Southern Indiana. It's called MGP, and it stands for something grain products or something like that. It has, consider it to be like an Uber barrel house.
Mm.
It's got like stuff sitting in there. And basically what you can do is you can go to MGP and you can say, I want to put out my own bourbon.
Oh,
what do you got?
Oh.
And so you can say, well, we have, you know, a 6 year that's here. We have an 8 year that's here. We have a 4 year that's here. We could blend it all together for you. What are you looking to do? And so you could literally put out your own bourbon without actually having distilled a single drop.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Now, because bourbon is so much, like many brands today, about story,
mm-hmm.
there was really a crisis a few years ago about the disingenuousness, because people would have all these stories about, you know, mountain streams and,
yeah.
you know, stuff, and then you found out that it was sourced from MGP in Southern Indiana.
right.
So, I mean, a lot of people kind of shook their heads at it, but I mean, the reason why MGP has such a supply there is because they're a company that's bought up a bunch of old distilleries, and they've just, you know, they've had stuff, they basically buy up entire warehouses, and sometimes they don't even know what they're buying, and then they go in there and they see, oh, look, it's bourbon that's, you know, 15 years old or something like that.
Cool.
So yeah, there are a lot of what I would call small independent bourbon. But the trouble is, no one will buy anything less than a 4 year bourbon. And to put that investment of time into it,
mm-hmm.
That's a long investment of time as mm-hmm. a startup.
Right.
So a lot of them, what they do is they do the sourced bourbon for the first 4 years while they're distilling their own bourbon and aging their own bourbon.
Ah, I see.
So anyway,
there very you go. Interesting.
A little bit of bourbon history there.
Thank you.
There you go. That closes our beverage update and takes us to what I believe is actually things inside the calendar. So last week, the week of May the 15th, the Ides of May,
mm-hmm.
There was nothing.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
So this week, we're recording on the 23rd, the 24th on the Wednesday, we have the debut, as I like to call it, on TVO mm-hmm. of Dino Dana. So it's not like Dino from the Flintstones? I thought it was a spinoff.
No, you know what it is a spinoff? It is a spinoff from Dino Dan, which is a TVO show about a little kid who... He has a field guide to dinosaurs, and as he makes this field guide, he is able to see and to interact with dinosaurs that exist in our world. So they're done via CGI. So it's the usual TVO doing their educational programming, and as these kids have gotten older, they've had to move on and do offshoots. So first there was Dino Dan, and then there was Dino Dan Trek's Adventures, and Trek was Dan's younger brother, and now Trek's voice has changed, and he's gotten hair in places, and so now we have...
He's got hair in places.
In places. And so now we have Dino Dana. She's 9 years old, and actually in the first episode of Dino Dana, she runs into Trek, and he passes off the field guide to her, and she begins her adventures. So every episode, there's 16 episodes, and they're 11 minutes long. And the first episode, which is back-to-back, 22 minutes, debuts on TVO and will be available on TVO.org after the broadcast. And then the regular air date for the show will be Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting next week. And this is from the same company, Sinking Ship, that does Odd Squad and Androids and programming like that.
So what you're saying is this crafty young woman fleeces Dino Dan out of his field guide.
Yes. Well, he's working at the library. He has a job now, and so he doesn't have time for all these adventures, these dinosaur adventures.
Wow. That's a searing indictment of aging, to be honest with you.
Ageism.
It's like, you know what? I got a job at the library, so I can't have adventures anymore.
That's right. Well, I guess you could argue that Trek's having his own adventures at the library because there are all kinds of books and things that he can, you know, other adventures that he can go on. Maybe that'll be a spinoff that I'll pitch to TVO.
Adventure in the Library.
Yeah.
Okay,
Study
so there you
Hall
go.
With Trek.
On Thursday the 25th, The Return of Private Eyes, which I still think is a name that belongs in the 1980s, but nevertheless.
Like the song.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even the name for a TV show, to call it's like calling it Seeing Things, which was a product of the 1980s.
Yes. Well, you know? Yeah. Season 2, Private Eyes, Jason Priestley, Cindy Sampson are back.
Former hockey player who solves crimes.
That's right.
Yes.
William Shatner is a guest star this season. Hinchcliffe, the race car driver. What's that guy's first name? Anthony, you're a big race car fan, aren't you?
Not so much.
Anyway, there's a race car driver in the first episode. What's different about this season of the show is that it's a little bit lighter in tone. They've established the characters in season one, and now they're going to be focusing more on the cases, which are more lighthearted. I mean, we're not talking about Law and Order type cases or anything like that. Yeah, it's still bugging me about the race car driver. I can't think of his first name. But anyway,
is it James?
Yes, that's it. You're Jason? No, James. Yeah. James Hinchcliffe. I'm sorry.
It is James.
Yes. Thank you for looking
confirming that up. For you.
Yes. Thank you, Google.
He's 30 years old from Oakville, by
perfect.
The way.
And he was on Dancing with the Stars.
He was, and he was educated at McMaster University.
Ooh, excellent. Yeah. So he appears in Thursday's Return of Private Eyes. We also have some new characters added to the show. There's some love interests. Also, Samantha Wan, who is an actress who co-created Second Gen for City TV. She is in this season as Shade and Angie's, she works in the office with them and helps them with cases as well. And that's what I have to say about Private Eyes. It's 18 episodes. It was the number one original Canadian summer series last year, and it is back.
Sorry, do we have a demographic we can add to that qualifier as well?
Two plus.
There you go.
I think.
Good. On the 26th, this Friday, the return of The Next Step.
Yeah, and it just finished its past season 2 weeks ago.
I seem to remember that. Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, so when I got this press release, I emailed Family Channel and said, wait a minute, did I miss something? Didn't the last season just end? And they said, yes, indeed, season 5 is back, because they shoot something like 33 episodes or 40 episodes at a time. So it's a season that's filled with friendly rivalries and fierce competition. Season 5 represents a new chapter for the studio as the dancers are divided into two separate teams. And, that's
period.
Pretty much it. A lot of changes at the studio. They lost regionals. Ooh, spoiler alert. A-Troop is once again the underdog, but that won't deter them from getting back to the top.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
So that wraps up this week. And there's only one thing coming up next. Well, no, we got a couple things next week. But starting on the 31st of May, we have The World Without Canada, Which is meant to be, from what I understand, like kind of a, it was supposed to be a bit more lighthearted, I think? Or is it supposed to be like serious, the world without Canada? This is what it would be.
No, it's serious. And they it's extra serious because they got Dan Aykroyd to be the host. That was a big
deal. Oh, there you go.
It's a document.
So it's trying to be funny, is what you're saying.
Trying mightily. Canada's significant impact on the modern world by imagining the realities and repercussions of those contributions, if those contributions never existed. So they're going to speculate on the global impact of the world without Canada. It's a thematic stories based on Canada's natural resources, technological innovations, medical breakthroughs, humanitarian efforts, and more. So does that mean there'd be no penicillin, right?
I guess so. Is this like, this reminds me of, remember those shows that they used to have? It's like, what if a tidal wave came in on the over New York City, and then they would show these overhead maps of all this water covering.
Yeah. Like, or
this how, would be like, how many deaths would there be if a Canadian hadn't invented penicillin, and we'll pretend that nobody else did in the interim as well.
That's right. Or how long it would take for nature to reclaim a major city if the world ended. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That kind of stuff.
So, I mean, so in many ways, this is kind of like CBC's recent effort, Canada, the show without history.
We would have no, bare naked ladies.
So we would have no theme song to The Big Bang Theory, is what you're saying?
Yes. No Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Yes.
No Ashley MacIsaac.
Wow,
no,
that's
SC.
Quite a pull.
No,
no Ashley MacIsaac. Like, where did you pull? How many? What 20-year-old pull is that?
I don't know. No SCTV. No Strange Brew.
So. No Dan Aykroyd.
No Dan Aykroyd. There you go.
Actually, how can he host the show if the show is supposed to be the world without Canada?
I don't know. Tune in and find out. Wednesday, May the 31st.
Now, this is only like a 2 or 3-parter.
It's a 3-part. Yeah, Wednesday the 31st, Thursday the 1st, and Friday the 2nd at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on History.
So a couple more things on next week as well. On June the 1st, the season finale of MasterChef Canada.
Yeah, we're down to the final 3, and then it'll be down to the final 2. And then, I think it's everybody, the 3 finalists are all from Vancouver. So that means that... it's going to be somebody from the West Coast winning this season of MasterChef Canada. So I guess that's
parsing down that logic for us.
Like that?
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Thanks.
Maybe I would even dare say it's going to be somebody from Vancouver.
I don't know about that. I think 2 out of the 3 are from the Vancouver area.
Could we have a double elimination round? I don't know. We also have our last item on the calendar on June the 2nd, the Friday night. Is the debut of Eyes for the Job on AMI TV or ME TV?
AMI, Accessible Media.
AMI?
MI TV.
So there you go.
Yeah. It's a do-it-yourself show. Chris Judge and Rebecca Higgs. And Chris Judge is totally blind. He was born blind. And nonetheless, he has not let that stop him. He is a carpenter and likes to do-it-yourself stuff. Yes, he does have all of his fingers and thumbs. You don't have to worry about that. But what makes this show a little bit different from...
Hang on. Don't put that bad joke on me, okay?
I'm not.
Yes, he does, Anthony. Come on now.
No.
That was in your head, Mr. David. It was not in mine.
Well, he makes a joke in the very first episode about that. So Chris definitely has a sense of humor. And what's a little bit different about Eyes for the Job, not only do they have a blind co-host who's building things, but also they're using integrated described video. So rather than going back into a television show like they do now, you know, you might see on CBC or CTV where somebody go, you know, in post, they put in the described video. They're doing the described video. The hosts are while they're actually filming the show.
Okay. So there you go.
There you go.
So Eyes for the Job debuts on Friday, June 2nd. And next episode, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up in June. All the summer shows coming up starting in June.
Yeah. If you like sci-fi, you're going to be very happy with this summer.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Space has a lot of full spaces. Dare I say?
I mean, pretty much all the space is filled up on Fridays and Saturdays all summer.
Exactly. So we do have some information coming up on CBC. I mean, one of the articles up on the website right now is CBC announcing that the world premiere date of Alias Grace, which we've talked about a few times now on the show. So we have a date. Thank you for closing the calendar.
No.
So Alias Grace, a 6-part hour-long show. Will have its debut on Monday, September 25th.
Yes, based on the award-winning novel by Margaret Atwood and inspired by true events. It's written and produced by Sarah Pauley, who did the great documentary Away From Her. It tells the story of Grace Marks, who's played by Sarah Gadon, who was last in 11-22-63, the Hulu series. A young, poor Irish immigrant and domestic servant in Upper Canada, who along with a stable hand named James McDermott, finds herself accused and convicted of the infamous 1843 murders of her employer, Thomas Kinnear, who's played by Paul Gross, and his housekeeper, Nancy Montgomery, played by Anna Paquin.
So they've got some star power behind this anyway.
They've got major star power behind this. This is the second series that Anna Paquin has been on for CBC. And if you want to dig, we have a photo gallery that's up as well as a 3-minute teaser trailer as well that people can take a look at if they go to tv-eh.com. There's a lot of people that are really excited about this, especially on the heels of The Handmaid's Tale being renewed for a second season. Margaret Atwood is really top of mind right now.
Yeah, indeed. So you can certainly go to cbc.ca/aliasgrace if you want to click on there, or you can go through the TVA website, and we have the embedded video right there, and you can watch it there. So 6 episodes, and it's nice to see that CBC is embracing has kind of fully embraced the shorter storytelling format that's kind of been a BBC staple for so many years.
Yeah, it's smart, and also something that the CRTC was hoping the more networks would do is take some Canadian books and adapt them into television series and miniseries, and so CBC is certainly doing that too.
So I'm waiting. So next season, does that mean we're going to have Alias Grace 2? You know, Breaking yes. Electric Boogaloo or something like that?
Grace 2, and then the theme music will be the tragically hip song Grace 2.
Or is it going to be broken off into 2 series, Alias, which is going to be,
right.
You know, a show about, yeah, I feel she'll become a secret agent.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Grace.
2.
2. There you go. So, yeah, coming up. And a whole bunch of other, so just announced today, a whole bunch of other CBC shows that are coming up.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this podcast, the Patreon folks are going to get it before. So there will be some of you that get this information before it's actually announced. But by the time this goes up on the website, I will be at CBC's upfront presentation where they are unveiling some summer shows as well as their fall and winter programming. So there are a handful of new shows to talk about that I thought it was... Go ahead.
We'll see if people can figure out what they have in common.
Okay.
As we read through some of the dramas.
Okay. So let's start with summer because that makes the most sense. We do know that the new seasons of Baroness Von Sketch Show and Still Standing with Johnny Harris are both coming back on June the 27th. Real surprise that those two shows are back to back. They did very well for CBC. And it makes sense to have them on the same night.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's get into new stuff. So 21 Thunder premieres July the 31st. And do you want to guess what it's about, or do you just want me to go ahead and read about it?
Sorry, what's that called again? 21 what?
Thunder.
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 I don't know. 21 Thunder. I go ahead.
Okay. With it. So it takes viewers into the fiercely competitive and high-stakes world of the Montreal Thunder under 21 soccer team, following the players and coaches who risk it all for a shot at the pros.
I'm not saying the show can't be good,
mm-hmm.
but it speaks to the ability of CBC to where every sports channel over the past few years has had a success about doing documentaries of professional teams. CBC has to reach out to an under 21 soccer team. So not only a sport whereby the professionals don't have as much of a stake in this country as a lot of the other professional sports do, but we're going to an under 21 team.
Yeah, and you know, despite the fact that Toronto FC and Montreal were in the finals last year and made for an exciting finale, I guess if you're a soccer fan, that's what I read. I'm not a huge soccer fan. But the weird thing about this show, I mean, I think soccer is a lot more popular probably in Quebec than maybe it is in the rest of Canada. I don't know. I could be totally, you know, talking out of turn. But the weird thing about this is I watched the first episode of this show. And first of all, they sign this phenom to the team. And he comes from the Ivory Coast. And they pay him $15,000 So quickly you realize that even if you're going to be on this team, you probably need to have a job to stay above the poverty line. But the second thing that I noticed when I watched this episode is that it's good for what it is, but it doesn't belong on CBC. This is something that if you're watching Family Channel, it would fit more there because they have Degrassi. Also, maybe it's too sexy for YTV. So I would say that Family Channel is probably the best fit. It just seems very strange and out of place. It almost seems like it's not a kid's show because there are adult situations in this. One of the guys is a former gang member who makes it onto he's the captain of the team, and his gang comes and tries to get him back into their, involved with them. So it's just very, very strange to see this on CBC.
Are we sure this isn't like a Touchstone film?
No, it's not a Touchstone film, but geez, it certainly seems like it. Some of the producers have worked on Republic of Doyle and Saving Hope before. They've got some folks from 19-2 that are involved in this show. But yeah, again, it's just very strange that CBC, greenlit this in the first place because it doesn't fit when you're looking at CBC and the programming that they currently have. I don't know what they're trying to do here.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's one summer show that's coming up. Anything else coming up in the summer?
Not in the summer. We jump to Frankie Drake in the fall, which is we've talked about this one before. This is Toronto's only female private detective, played by Lauren Lee Smith. This is set in the 1920s. Because she's a private detective, she can get into and work on cases that the police can't. So she can do things, kind of more illegal means that someone like William Murdoch can't do. And coincidentally, Frankie Drake, is from Shaftesbury, the same folks behind Murdoch Mysteries. It was co-created by a couple of writers, Carol Hay and Michelle Ricci, and everybody involved in Shaftesbury is either a showrunner or an executive producer on this. I'm a huge and unapologetic fan of Murdoch Mysteries, so I'm going to check this show out anyway. They're not in production yet, but, this is quintessential CBC for me. If they're going to do Murdoch Mysteries, it makes sense to do something like this.
Right. It's one of those things where the premise isn't that much different from, any other police detective kind of show. So it really depends on ability to pull off characters and scripts.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yep.
And, it has all the potential, and the only thing that it is saddled with is the fact that it reads like a whole bunch of other things, like not necessarily from the time frame, from the historical perspective, but the basic concept is hard-nosed detective or detective goes in to solve crimes that the police can't solve. I mean, we read that all over the place.
Yes, and you're going to read more about that as we keep going.
Exactly.
I think
it seems like CBC is obsessed with crime right now.
Yeah, I think the other thing about Frankie Drake is it's all, there's that built-in audience, the Murdoch Mysteries audience, that's automatically going to judge it against that. So there's also that. So Winter is a burden of proof. So Kristen Crook returns to TV. It's an investigator. She's also an executive producer. As well as
so she was most recently in the Beauty and the Beast remake.
She was, that's right. Very good memory. I had forgotten all about that. So it's an investigative drama about life-altering legal cases, the helpless plaintiffs searching for answers while lead attorney Joanna Hanley, played by Kristen Crook, fights incredible odds to deliver justice. The creators and executive producers are folks that have worked on Rookie Blue and Saving Hope and also the short-lived Showcase drama called King. Mm.
Oh yes, I remember that. The thing that Diane and I always used to make fun of, because I remember one of the catchphrases for King, we always used to talk about the fact that, and they actually used this in one of their spots, was, it talked about the fact that she's a detective, blah blah blah, blah, and she can't pass up a great shoe sale.
Really?
Oh yeah, when Diane first saw it, and I it was like, oh okay.
Oh man.
Now here's the thing: the first two shows we're talking about have female leads.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic.
Yes.
I think it's great. I think that, I think Canadian TV, I think I would argue that American TV is doing a little bit more as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, investigating that kind of diversity is great. It would be nice if we could expand the diversity beyond gender a little bit.
Yes.
Not to say that we still aren't, we still are far from having, equity with regards to gender anyway, but it would be nice to see at least some cultural diversity as well, put it that way. But,
yes, I agree.
So also coming up in winter 2018, we have Caught.
Yeah, and this is something that was announced by CBC last year. This was the adaptation of Lisa Moore's novel that was being done by Alan Hocko. And I think part of the... a couple of things. Frontier came along and ended up taking up some of Alan Hocko's time, and also his production company, Take the Shot Productions. And also, I think I read that it ended up being tougher for him to adapt than he thought it was going to be. Right. But regardless, it's set in 1978, so that's great. The wardrobe and the cars are going to be fantastic. So locked up after a drug deal goes wrong, David Slaney, played by Alan Hocko, makes a daring break from a Nova Scotia prison to attempt one more deal with his former partner, Paul Gross. The two of them co-starred in several episodes of Republic of Doyle. Like I said, Caught is an adaptation of Lisa Moore's acclaimed novel. Additional cast includes Tori Anderson, who is in Open Heart, and Anuka Okuma and Charlotte Sullivan, who were both most recently on Rookie Blue. Actually, Charlotte Sullivan was in Mary Kills People, but they were both on Rookie Blue. Executive producer Alan Hocko.
There you go. So again, pulling in some star. Now, is this, you say this is, it's an adaptation. Is it, how many parts are we talking about here?
At this point, I believe it's only one season. I'm not sure whether,
Is it like a 6-episode run kind of thing?
That, I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know that information yet. Don't know whether it's going to be the type of thing where it's going to be open-ended at the end of season one and that right. it can be for more than one season, or whether CBC right. is going with this short run thing and, kind of a one season and then one-off sure. type of thing.
So in the midst of all these cop shows, we have a comedy. The comedy is Little Dog, which premieres winter 2018, set on the rock.
Yeah, Newfoundland. It's darkly hilarious. Actor and novelist Joel Thomas Hines, who was a major bad guy in Republic of Doyle, and I had no clue that he was also a novelist. I know he's a playwright, too. So he's written this story about a lightweight boxer named Donnie Little Dog Ross, and his haphazard quest for redemption after he drops his gloves in the middle of a round and quits the fight, dumping a promising career down the drain. So Hines is the creator, writer, and actor. Showrunner and executive producer is Sherry White. She's from Rookie Blue and Saving Hope. Mm-hmm. And executive producer is Amy Cameron from Cameron Pictures, from most recently Mary Kills People. So yeah, a lot of people involved in the shows that have recently been canceled on other networks, and now they're moving over to work on stuff with the CBC. I'm looking forward to this because Joel Thomas Hines, he's an interesting guy. I know he's had some drug issues and he's covered in tattoos. I just think he's a really unique person, and right. therefore I think that this project is going to be obviously very different from what we're seeing on CBC in the coming year. So I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, there you go. And the last thing we have on our list here is Center Punch, which isn't about boxing like we just talked about.
No. It's a cop drama. A willful
really?
Yeah.
It's a cop drama.
I know. A willful bully. Sure, good.
Hang on. Does it have a female lead?
It does have a female lead.
Wow, there you go.
Yes. A bold and naive young woman played by Katie Boland from a dynasty of powerful male cops joins the Toronto police only to uncover things about her family and the inner workings of the force that she never would have believed possible. So, yes, we're seeing a bunch of cop dramas in here and a legal drama. And the thing that's the most disheartening to me as well, I love the fact you already mentioned this, that we've got female leads, and I think that we should have more of that. We should have more diversity. But looking at what CBC hasn't renewed, it doesn't look like Shoot the Messenger is going to be back. Pure, we know, has been canceled. I just feel as though instead of having unique programming, I mean, there's even Michael Every Day, which was brought back for a season. That's certainly right. very different from something like Working Moms, taking nothing away from Working Moms, but it's just very different. I just think right. the uniqueness that CBC showed in this past season has kind of been washed away, and, you know, sight unseen any of these projects, but just looking at the synopses, we're seeing legal drama, cop drama, cop drama, cop drama. So
yeah.
To me, CBC is supposed to be about, you know, not only representing Canadian stories, but I think unique Canadian stories. We got that last year. I'm not sure if we're getting that this year.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it takes place, the Center Punch takes place in Toronto.
Yeah.
Does that make it a Canadian story?
So we have
Frankie Drake set in 1920s Toronto.
Yeah, we have Toronto and we have Montreal and we have Newfoundland.
Yes. All right.
It's all East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like, I mean, not no small town stuff necessarily, so.
No.
There you go. It seems like a small town stuff is relegated to like rural shows, like, you know, if it's small town, it has to be like farm life kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it can't just be like, as opposed to something like Cardinal, which wasn't really small town, but I mean, it was, you know, a smaller city anyway.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek is small town. And then Still Standing, of course, Johnny Harris is visiting all these small towns, but yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that takes you through the CBC upfronts, and certainly we may have a little bit more information to talk about next episode. We'll see how things go. Now, do we have upfronts coming up for anything else? Because now, I don't know how much Global and CTV are doing with regards to Canadian programming over the summer.
Yeah, I've got three coming up. June 6th, 7th, and 8th are when Rogers and Corus and Bell Media will be doing their announcements, and I'll be going to their upfronts. But other than confirming whether or not shows like Mary Kills People will be coming back, right, I'm not really expecting a ton of news. Bell Media has already announced their intentions on several shows. So from a Canadian standpoint, there won't necessarily be a lot of news, but I will be attending to find out what I can, because I want to, you know, we're going to talk about the CRTC stuff, and those are the types of questions that I want to ask of the executives when I go to their upfronts, because what the CRTC has decided is going to have a direct impact on the Canadian content over the next several years.
Right. So the CRTC is the butt of a lot of criticism over the past week, especially for those of us who like our local programming and like our Canadian programming, because it seems like the big providers and the big players in the Canadian television industry with regards to broadcast anyway, like Rogers, like Bell, like Corus, are doing everything they can to try and reduce the mandatory amount of Canadian programming, local programming that they can get from.
Yeah, and you know, the latest thing that JP Bled did, as he goes out the door, I think his gig ends at the end of June. So his last decision that the CRTC decided, June 17th is when he leaves. First thing was that broadcasters now have to give the CRTC 120 days notice that they plan to close down a station.
Right.
And that they have to broadcast at least 6 hours of local news every week. So I love the fact that, you know, things that happened at CHCH, something like that happens, and then they need to do this stopgap and say, oh, wait a minute, you can't, you know, you may have been able to get away with that the first time, but you can't do that again.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, we had to have the canary in the coal mine first.
Yes.
Before we could develop regulations around it.
Yes, exactly. But the other thing, and this is what has gotten the Writers Guild of Canada and the Directors Guild of Canada very upset, is that the CRTC has... It was supposed to be that folks like Bell Media and Corus had to spend 8% to 9% and 5% at Rogers to spend their money on Canadian content and Canadian programming. The CRTC now has reduced that down to 5% for everybody. So that means, you know, the initial knee-jerk reaction is that that means that it's giving the Canadian networks an out, that they won't be investing as much money into Canadian programming as they have in the past. The guilds are upset, saying that dramas, documentaries, and kids programming, it's going to be at least $200 million will be taken out of scripted television production over the next 5 years.
It's amazing that the CRTC, who they say in some ways is supposed to represent the consumers.
Yes.
But that's even a misappropriation. I mean, who's representing the content itself on television, like the Canadianness or the Canadian content? Like, because I could make the same arguments the CRTC does and talk about the fact that, no, you're right, that we're going to go down this vicious circle of, you know, saying that there's no good Canadian content out there, therefore we're defunding it. It's almost like what they use for the No Child Left Behind in U.S. schools, right? Mm-hmm. So basically there, if your test scores are bad, we're going to take money away from you. Well, how are you going to get test scores back up good again if you don't put the resources into the school to get the test scores back up good?
Right, right.
So that's essentially what they're doing, is they're saying, well, people aren't watching Canadian programming, so let's take away more money from it.
Yeah.
Instead of investing in it and actually making content that people will be interested in.
Yes. And for those people that are complaining that there's already too many reality shows with Canada tacked on the end, the networks are also allowed to take that money and switch some of that money over to lifestyle and reality programming, or, as we know, cheaper programming, right?
Yes, exactly. It's the CRTC, I mean, has come up with, when it seems to say we're defending the consumer, they do things like mind-numbing stuff, like talking about showing commercials at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And when they say that they're supposed to be representing Canadian television, what they instead do is they represent the big companies of Canadian television and allow them to make their assets more liquid so that they don't actually have to make Canadian television.
Yeah.
Now, did this include, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but when they say you can't shut down a station, does that include some of the local cable stations as well?
Yes, I believe it does. Yes.
So basically they have to give notice. So we're going to have like a kind of sad funeral dirge now for 2 months while people announce that their stations are going to be closing. I guess that gives the opportunity for at least local groups to strike up some kind of resistance to it if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. The unions. And then you don't have the surprise like they did at CHCH where, you know, people were split up into two different rooms, American Idol style.
I can't see any major improvements here, basically.
No, I can't either. My only hope is that Melanie Jolie, who has been, talking and constantly about the importance of Canadian programming, I can only hope that she steps up to the plate and the Liberal government does something about this. I also hope that that the new person, the new CRTC head, comes in and changes some things and makes things better. Because at this point, at a certain, earlier on this year or late last year, I was thinking, how much are these little changes really going to make? But when you take all these little changes and you put them all together, they end up adding up to a lot. And, that impacts on everybody. It impacts on the viewership, it impacts on the people working in the industry, and it impacts on somebody like myself, who the whole point of the TVA website is to cover Canadian TV. Well, I do cover some reality and lifestyle programming, but that's not the mandate. My mandate isn't to cover just that kind of stuff exclusively, and I get a little bit freaked out. So, that's why I say I'm looking forward to going to these upfronts and speaking to the folks at Bell Media and saying, okay, listen, your quota, your amount, your percentage has dropped. Is it your intention that you're going to drop the coverage? Now, of course, I don't think any of them are, no one's going to say that they're going to do that. But I just want to get them on the record and their reaction to this, because it can't be really good news. I can't think that there are Canadian networks that they want to get out of the Canadian television business. A private network might, obviously they make their money from the American stuff and the ratings that those American shows bring in. But I don't think any of them want to see, no Canadian programming on their networks.
No, but we also have to let them know that having a 20% stake in a co-pro with other countries isn't Canadian content.
No, that's a very good point as well. A show like Ransom, as entertaining as it is, I mean, it was kind of embarrassing to call it a co-pro because it really wasn't.
Yeah. So the other thing that I see on here is that they decided to give Omni mandatory carriage for 3 years.
Yeah, so that saves them. It also ensures that we have news programming in Mandarin and other languages, which, of course, is very important as well. We'll see what happens after that.
And blood and water.
That's the great question, is will there be more blood and water? I'm hoping that means yes because of this decision.
So there you go. So, like I said, I'm not thrilled, not optimistic. There's no way that these companies are lobbying for less money to have to pay less money because they're going to actually spend more of it.
Right.
I mean, that's simply the way it works. And if you wonder why we haven't mentioned Shaw in all of this, it's because Corus now owns Shaw,
that's
by the
right.
way.
Yes, that's right.
So it's Bell, Corus, and Rogers. We didn't miss Shaw. They're now part of the Corus empire. And these are all empires, folks.
Mm-hmm.
The broadcast empires. Anyway. There you go. I think it's time to depressingly wrap up the stories this week. But it's okay. It's okay. Everyone take a deep breath. We will have a TV ABCs for you next week. We will come back in 2 weeks with some more news. Hopefully some more uplifting stuff about new Canadian shows that are on. Even though we may be depressed by the actual numbers of shows that we have to talk about. But Greg, until then, where can people find you?
People can find me running the show over at TVA.com, TV-EH.com. Also the Twitter account at TV_EH. If you go to the website, there's a link to our Instagram account, the YouTube page, Facebook, Twitter, all of that fun stuff. What about you, Anthony?
You can find all the other podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com and find me on Twitter at anthonymarco. And if you want to, if you're interested in supporting what we do here, you can go to our Patreon page at P-A-T-R-E-O-N. That's patreon.com/TV_EH and become a supporter of the podcast and get the advance episode like a day in advance of everyone else.
Yeah, you get the info at least 12 hours, in most cases 24 hours in advance of everybody else. And actually, the next time we record, I'll break out the list of supporters and we will name them and thank them, because we haven't done that in a while.
Exactly. So make sure if you want to be mentioned, you get in your support before the next episode.
That's right.
That's it. It's a illustrious list.
It really is.
Indeed. That's it, folks. All of your Canadian TV goodness. And it wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.